All right, folks, in this interview, I'm sitting down with Hawaii-based photographer Don Herzler. We're going to be talking about lava. He's a guy behind lava-like galleries over there, and he has some interesting stories about lava and how to photograph lava. All that's coming your way next. This is Twit. All right, Don Herzler, you are hopefully staying safe down there in Hawaii, where they're making new ground and making new earth over there. What is happening in Hawaii right now? Last time we spoke, it was probably half the size. Now you got a little bit more real estate. What's happening over there?
Well, it's a dramatic time here on the Big Island of Hawaii, I have to say. I live in Kailua Kona, Hawaii, which is 100 miles or so from the actual lava flow. And things are fairly normal here, except the clouds are a little darker than normal because they've got ash in them.
Yeah.
So we do have what we call bog in the air, and it bothers some people. Doesn't seem to bother me, but it does bother some people. Other than that, life is normal. I didn't even feel the 6.9 earthquake that this island had. So we are kind of insulated from it. However, I've been on the ground and in the air on the other side, and it is devastating. It is a war zone. It is horrific to look at. It is also beautiful to look at. It's tearing up one of my favorite parts of this island, of any of the Hawaiian islands. The Puna district is just getting battered. I've had a couple of friends lose homes, and I've seen things over there I've never seen in my life. So it's quite a time.
And I want to talk about that. So there's so much to talk to you about in such a small amount of time. You are no stranger to lava and to photographing lava. You've done many photos of it. You take folks on tours to photograph it. There's some unique properties or some unique challenges to photographing lava because it's both dark and light and moving, right? So before we dive into the challenges of shooting lava, you're safe, obviously. What are the logistics on the ground there? So when I think of Hawaii and I think of something never before happening like this, I want to grab my camera, I want to grab my drone, I want to get over to there and get as many photos as possible. But I'm hearing that's probably not possible right now. Can you give us a little reality check?
I will, and I'll try to make it succinct, but it's a little complex. So I take people out to the lava. I don't take them out commercially. I take friends out. I would love to take you out there. And we, under normal circumstances, you hike out to it, you stand right in front of it, you get great pictures, or you go on a boat and you hang out in front of it from the ocean side, or maybe do it by helicopter. Right now, you cannot really approach it on the ground unless you live in that area. Mm-hmm. It's tightly cordoned off. There's police and National Guard and you name it. People's lives and homes are at stake, so you have to respect that and appreciate that.
Yeah.
People are very touchy in that area at the moment, as would I be, because honestly, they are really on the verge of losing their homes and in some cases their livelihoods.
Yeah.
So I can't get you out there right now. We can go by helicopter, and right now there's a 3,000 foot, which is quite a bit, barrier. You can't go below in the helicopter or on fixed wing. But I was shooting the other day with a 500 millimeter lens, handheld, as the sun came up, and got really quality photos. So that can be done. You can also go out by boat. My buddy Shane is taking people out on the Lava One, and you can get right in front of the ocean flow. So there are ways to get to it, but you just can't show up and walk out and say hi.
Yeah, yeah, you're not going to hop on the next flight out to Hawaii and expect to be shooting lava flow within 10 minutes of landing on the ground. What about the one of the things that we hear on the news here on the mainland is the gas, and that's one of the dangers out there. Obviously the lava is destructive in reforming the surface of the earth. It doesn't care about real estate or anything like that. But there's also poisonous gas being released. How are you making sure that you're safe from that?
you can't stay safe from that. So let me just kind of establish expectations on that deal. The gas, really, in a lot of cases, you can't smell it, you can't see it, and you're on it, and it can get you. I had a dear friend, Sean King, who died a couple of months ago from the gas, and a very tragic incident. And it wasn't in any kind of a location what we have now. We've got really bad gas situation going on right now. Yeah. I was out there a week or so ago at a friend's house whose house is in danger. And we wanted to see how close the lava was getting to the house. And we went around the tree line. And the next thing you know, we were all enveloped in a gas cloud. And I had on a professional mask. I mean, a really professional mask, looks like this. And yeah. Found out that doesn't help you if there's no oxygen in the air. And there was no oxygen in the air. And honestly, I'm kind of an older guy. Some of the younger guys were okay, but I wasn't. It yeah. choked me up immediately and really caused me to a lot of concern. So gas is a big problem.
Wow. Yeah, it makes me, as the photojournalist in me, makes me want to come there. But obviously, safety first, right? And common courtesy. Sounds like what I'm hearing is common courtesy for the people that are negatively affected by these changes, as well as just being cognizant of this is primordial Earth happening right here, and it is it's making new, it's replicating itself, and it doesn't care about you. It wants
Jurassic
to do its thing.
Park. I mean, it looks like that. First of all, the Puna district is one of the reasons it's so lovely. Is because it's tropical rainforest, and it's near the coast. It's within a mile or two of the coast. Big trees, some of them kind of an invasive species that grows up to, I don't know, 200 feet. Big trees,
yeah.
Lots of trees, lots of agriculture over there. And so it does kind of look like a Jurassic Park. And then you get above it in the helicopter, and you look out, as I did at sunrise, to be astonished to see rivers of lava that are miles long. I don't know what miles means, but 2-3 miles long.
Yeah.
And 100 feet or 100 yards wide. You can't exactly tell from up there. And it's coursing down toward the ocean. It looks like any regular river. That's how fast it's moving. So it's it takes you a moment to get your camera up to your eye because you're just so startled by what you're seeing.
That is... that's amazing. I want to. I'll be showing some photos that you've sent over of that lava flow. That's it's hard to put it in perspective because my brain has never seen anything like that before. So I have no point of reference of size or, you know, or speed or anything. It just looks. It looks dangerous when you look at it. And I thought about you flying around in a helicopter, which is, you know, a bunch of tin wrapped around some flammable liquid, you know, using aerodynamics to stay in the air. And you're flying over. Yeah, I mean, there's no place. Yeah, you're not landing on lava anytime soon. So were you worried at all while you were flying over that stuff?
Well, you're a photographer. You know what happens as soon as the action started and I put my camera my eye in the back of the camera, I was lost in the scene.
Yeah, that's what happens.
It was a that particular day was a bumpy ride, which is not so typical on a helicopter trip, but that one was pretty bumpy because of the rainstorm we're in and the uplifts from the heat on the ground. I didn't notice any of it. I just hung out the door and clicked away on that camera and kept looking for new things to photograph. And so, you don't spend a lot of time being worried about it. And there's nothing to worry about anyway. It's going to be what it's going to be.
So. It's going to be, yeah. If you're going in, you're going in. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and you're right. It's a funny thing that happens when you're, especially if you're an aircraft and you're shooting photos out of aircraft. There's a certain amount of trust that you have to put in the pilots, knowing that they're going to do their thing no matter what. And you're a leaf on the wind at that point. You can't change anything. So you might as well come away with some great photos, right? So, yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. they'll find the camera.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, let's talk about it. So we touched on the challenges of shooting lava, which is, you know, blacker than black, as well as a light source that's moving and I can't imagine. I've never shot lava before. What are, and you've taken people out there to shoot this. What are some tips on how to shoot lava when you actually have the opportunity to do it?
So I wrote a blog for Sigma Photo, for the lens people and the camera people, on shooting lava from a boat, and it's still out there on the Sigma blog site, and it really kind of covers this in detail, and I think people would enjoy it and maybe gain something from it. So the net of this is, the first time you shoot lava, I don't care who you are, you're going to have a hard time. It is a bizarre set of circumstances, including something that people forget, and that is the heat shimmer that you get. This stuff is 1600 to 2000 degrees, and you think you have focus, and you don't have focus because of the heat shimmer. And that's a big deal. So my advice to folks is, take a lot of photos. Don't say, I'm going to take three and be done here. Take 50 or 100 and hope that the wind catches one of them and it's clear. I've gotten some wonderful photos that look right inside lava tubes or sky domes or whatever you want to call them. Beautiful, beautiful shots that are absolutely sparkling clear. The truth of it is, I probably took 300 or 400 shots of that scene, yeah, and one of them came out right. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you need to have a bit of a game plan for shooting it. My game plan is this. We always start out early in the morning, you know, before sunup. And so there's no light other than the lava. And so I start off with my big lens, which is kind of maybe different than what people think, because they want to use their 2.8 or 1.8 lens or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I want to use my great big 500 or 600 millimeter lens and focus right in on the orange spot, the red and orange lava itself, and get some detail shots at that time. And so that's what I do. I start off with that, because when you zero right in on it, you've got a light source, and you don't have to worry about too much about what the f-stop is. I hate ISO. A lot of people shoot at really high ISO, and that's fine. I mean, if that's what they want to do, everything's a trade-off, right? So you can do that. But our gallery, the Lava Light galleries that CJ Kale and my wife Linda and I own and operate here on the Big Island, we specialize in great big metal prints. Some of them are as big as Bay Photo can print.
Sure.
And some trip pitches that are, I don't know, 9 feet by 12 feet or something. Wow. I don't know, they're huge. Wow. And so they're really big and beautiful. And if you've got a shot with a lot of ISO in it, you'll see it. So we don't like to put them in, you know, programs where we can reduce the noise, because then you reduce the detail, and the beauty of the lava is in the detail.
Well, what about, I'm trying to wrap my brain around this situation. It sounds insanely challenging, because I'm thinking, you were telling me before that you're shooting from a boat, which is moving. You're in the dark 30 in the morning where there's no daylight. You're shooting moving lava with a long lens, and you're shooting sharp enough to blow up to 9 feet wide. How is this happening? Like, how are you able to do that?
Well, you know, everything is different. If you've got a real huge, and I've got my hands up for a reason, if you've got a lava tube that's, you know, 6 feet across or something like that, and I can kind of fill the screen with that, then that's one thing. That's a pretty simple shot.
Yeah.
If there are dark areas, then you have a little bit more of a challenge. So you bring the ISO up. So I might bring it up to 800. I know people who get some wonderful shots at 2000, but I don't care for 2000, but I'll take it up to 800. I will slow the camera down to as slow as 200th mm-hmm. of a second.
Mm-hmm.
Anything below 200th of a second with the lava moving, the ocean moving, the boat moving, me moving, then you're not going to get a crisp shot at all. I would much rather prefer to get up somewhere around 1,000th of a second. And you can do that easily as the sun comes up. And then obviously I'm shooting wide open. So if it's a 5.6 or a 6.3 f-stop lens, then I'm shooting at that.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are you shooting? What gear are you using? Full frame, mirrorless, DSLR? What are you shooting with?
Everything I shoot is full frame, and with one exception, which I'll cover, but I shoot full frame, a Canon 5D Mark IV. Mm-hmm. I love that camera. It's a wonderful camera.
Yeah.
I shoot the Sony A7R III. I love that camera.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
And I didn't love the A7R II so much, but I love the A7R III. And then I've got a Sony A9, which I use for, I've got kind of especially on some tropical bird shots over here. And it allows me to shoot at 1/5,000th of a second, 20 frames per second. And you need that for these hummingbird, you know, sized birds that have quick wing beats and the like. And I'm right on them with a 200 millimeter lens shooting that. The only exception to full frame is sometimes I use my Sony A7 Mark II, I think it is, in the ocean, in a water housing, an Aquatech water housing, when I'm doing wave photography. Only because it shoots 10 frames per second.
Yeah.
And you can hear it, and I'll come back to that in a moment. You can hear it as you shoot, even as it's in that water housing. And so a wave will come over my head, and I'll hit the pistol grip, and it'll go like that, and I know I'm getting a shot. I have tried the Sonys in there, and I know some people are doing great work with the Sonys in a water housing. Mm-hmm. I'm not yet. I need to work on it more.
Sure.
That's 20 frames per second on the A9, 20 frames per second. I would love to do that, but I can't hear it at 20 frames per second. And right. So it's silent, and I'm not getting any feedback of, am I getting the shot or not?
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
The setup I have, because I've been beaten to death with my camera equipment in the ocean, including a lot of stitches recently, has as few buttons on it as possible. I know people love buttons. I don't, because I'm in short break surf and things are flying at me all the time. So I don't even have a review button in mind.
Wow.
So I can put it on the 2 seconds and do the review, but I got to be kind of quick to do that. So
wow. You know, the other thing I want to chat about is there's a couple of other things. But so the Hawaii is in the news, right? So there's we've been keeping updated, you know, from the various news organizations on what's happening and earthquakes and lava shooting, you know, hundreds of feet in the air and hurting people and eating Fords and all this stuff, right? So we've been seeing that. You run a gallery on the main island over there, right? So from a business standpoint, is this affecting you guys positively? Like, I would imagine since it's so hard to get out to the lava and dangerous, it seems like it would, you know, if I came there and I'm not a photographer and I can't get to the lava, I'm going to want to go buy a print from you. Is that what you're seeing? Are you seeing an uptick in sales because of the lava?
Well, I'm very happy to say we had a huge night last night. I mean, a really almost make your month night last night.
Wow.
So I'm very, very happy about that. I flew to Oahu and back yesterday, and the planes both ways were filled, and all the ones before it and all the ones behind it were filled. So I think people are trying to, with the Memorial Day weekend and all that, trying to get over and see what's going on there.
Yeah.
However, we have also noticed a major downtick in people walking around our mall. And so we'll have to wait and see what the statistics are. But my guess is the longer this goes, the fewer people will come, because they're getting horrible, you know, news on the daily news every night.
Yeah.
When in fact it is quite beautiful on this side of the island, and there's lots to do. I had two of your friends over here recently, Peter and Troy, and we were stopped, if you will, from going out to the lava. Although we made one little effort, and it didn't turn out so well. But we found lots of other things to do. This time of year is Milky Way season for us, so we halfway up Mauna Kea shooting Milky Way. There's beautiful drains that we shoot in the ocean, and we were able to do that, and you name it, all sorts of other stuff to do.
Okay.
So what we tell everybody is, come on over. We'll find something to do.
Come on over. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, keep the trade going over there. What about video? So all the cameras that you mentioned you shoot with shoot video. Lava's moving, obviously. Are you shooting any video to kind of document or sell or anything like that?
I believe that I am possibly the worst videographer on the face of the earth.
I don't know. I've met some pretty bad videographers.
I've earned that title, I think, fairly. I don't do video. My partner, CJ, does excellent video. And he does so both, you know, regular and with drones. However, we're not able to fly the drones right now because of restrictions, but he's excellent on both. So he's our video guy. I had a guy come into the gallery a year ago, and I'm not going to be able to remember this gentleman's name, but he was young. He was 17, 18. He wanted advice on photography. And so I talked to him like the old man that I am. And I said, you know, leave photography to me. Why don't you get involved in video? You're a very active guy from what you've told me. Get involved in video. So he came back in a couple of months ago, and he said, hey, he said, I want to thank you for that advice. He said, I've got my own YouTube channel now and everything. And I said, really? I said, you got anybody subscribing to it? And he says, yeah, 3,200,000. And he told me what kind of money he was making. And he said he wanted to buy the biggest thing in the as a thank you in the gallery, which we, by the way, were quite happy to sell him. And I ducked in the back room and called my grandkids, who were a couple of them are 10 and 12. And I said, hey, I got so-and-so in the gallery. They started screaming, oh, my God, have you met him? Yeah, he's standing right here.
Wow, I want to know who that was now. Now I want to know.
And, you know, what I told him, and I think it's true, and God knows I love photographers, and I'm going to continue to be a photographer, but it would be wonderful if you did both well, because I'll put up a photo. Although I had one, I have one up right now that's had 18 million views. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Wow.
I put one up the other day and I quickly had 1,200 likes. That's nice. But I see a video go up and it's got 40 million views and stuff. Yeah. And it just boggles my mind.
It is crazy.
So I wish I did more. Maybe I'll learn. I'm not so old that I can't still learn. So
never,
we'll see.
never.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, before we close this off here. The lava obviously was a topic of this interview, but I've heard that you sort of enjoy putting yourself in harm's way, and you tend to shoot all kinds of things that that may look at you as a happy meal, right? So tell us about that. Tell us about this penchant for danger.
It's so funny because in maybe 45 states, I would be looked at as a daredevil. But, you know, in Hawaii or Alaska or Colorado and a few other places around the country, people would go, that guy just doesn't have any guts. So, yes, I do daring things, but what I've learned is there's all sorts of levels of daring. You ask any of my buddies around here and they say, yeah, Don's good right up to a point. And then he's going to say,
hey, but last time we talked, Don, you were talking about, flirting with sharks was it either sharks or alligators or crocodiles or something that would eat you?
Sharks don't bother me. I raised my whole life with sharks and surfing in Southern California. They would be beneath your feet and they were mostly friendly and I never had any problems with them. I'm not bothered by sharks.
Though, you know, the ones that are outside of the mostly are the ones I worry about.
In California, I never had a problem with them, but and my wife is very comfortable with them too. Even the biggest ones that we've ever been in the water with, she's fine with them, and we both know how to protect ourselves in clear water, and we don't go in murky water, so
good.
We're good with that. However, I have this friend who is, I believe, insane. His name is Eli Martinez, and Eli owns Shark Diver Magazine, and he invites me on these wonderful trips, and one of them was to go down and get in the water with saltwater crocodiles on the border of Belize and Mexico, and then 40 miles out to sea at a place called Banco Chinchero.
Mm-hmm.
So I arrived there. I thought, this is going to be so cool to be, you know, photographing crocodiles from this wonderful cage and all this stuff. No cage, no nothing. It was just, hey, there's the crocs, hop in the water. So I started to get ready, and he said, you know, put on 20 pounds of weight of lead, because if you float, you die. Oh, well, that caught my attention right away. So I put on the lead, and as I'm doing it, I looked down at my hands, and my hands are pretty steady, even for an old guy. They're pretty steady. And I looked down there like this. I said, Eli, I said, look at my hands. I said, apparently I'm scared to death. He says, yeah, so am I.
Oh, good grief. So yeah.
We went in with a couple of other buddies of mine and Chris from London and some folks from actually all over the world. There was about six of us, I think, and spent 3 or 4 days in the water with these huge crocodiles and found it doable. got the daylight scared out of me once or twice. I have this great big friend named Chris Knight, and he won Fear Factor of Europe. He's a big actor and a fireman, tough guy.
Yeah.
I found myself hiding behind him quite a bit, going, get closer, Chris. I want to be right here over your shoulder. So, but we got some great shots, and I had a great time, and I might want to do it one more time, but it's nothing I'd want to do every day.
That's fantastic. Well, this is great. This has been educational, scary, and and fun all at the same time. So, if people want to catch up with you online, and if they happen to be coming to Hawaii, tell people where they can connect with you and kind of see the gallery and all that stuff.
Yeah, they can find us at lavalightgallery.com. I'm in the midst of launching a new website. We have an old one. It's up, but we've got a really cool one coming up here in a couple of weeks or so. So that's, Lava Light Galleries, the plural, galleries.com. And then Don Herzler, which is on Facebook, or Don Herzler on Instagram. And any way you want, get in touch with us, Google me up or whatever, and you'll find me. There's also a donherzler.com, which is for the books I write, but it'll lead you to the other things. So anyway, we're not that hard to find, and we'd love to see your audience. We'd love to see you over here. We'll have a good time, and as I've had today. Thank you.
Thank you. I definitely want to get over there. I've been to Hawaii a couple of times. Ironically, never to the main island. I've only been to Maui and Kauai. Never been to the main island. So, it's on my list. It's on my list of places to get to. Well, cool. Don, thank you so much for coming on, man. This has been a treat to get you on here. And thank you for giving the This Week in Photo audience some perspective into what's going on the ground down there. And like you said, your side of the island. What side of the island are you on again?
I'm on the dry side of the island, the Kailua Kona side. We're protected from the lava by two 14,000-foot mountains, or nearly 14,000, and another one called Hualalai. Unfortunately, all three of those are also volcanoes. And considered active, but right now they're not, and they're providing protection for us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, scientifically, Hawaii is basically on top of a big lava plume underneath the ocean, right? That's basically drawing a dotted line, right?
It is, but I'll tell you, I've lived here 11 years. I've never been happier or healthier in my life. And it's a great place to visit. It's a great place to live. And I'm thankful for every single day.
Awesome. That's a great attitude. Thank you, Don, for coming on. I appreciate your time today.
Aloha and a hui ho.
All right. Aloha.
This is Twitter.